Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning service here on the 3rd of May, 2020. Great to have you with us. Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, we will have our morning service in our own church building. Won't that be wonderful? But it's a blessing to have you as we'll sing a hymn together and go to God's Word together. As far as birthdays this week, Ada Rose Burgess is today. And Geraldine Estoleto is tomorrow. So wish those people a happy birthday this week. And for our hymn this morning, I posted the lyrics onto Facebook. Our Great Savior is the name of our hymn this morning. So if you would like to sing that with me, that would be great. We'll just do the three verses of Our Great Savior. So just push the play button. Good. Our great Savior.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, love of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole.
Different than the internet, but it's okay. These things happen. So for our message this morning, we're going to be in the book of Colossians and chapter 1. If you'd like to turn there, Colossians chapter 1. And a great passage this morning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you would go to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be looking together at verses 12 through, I think, verse 18 this morning. Yep, verses 12 to 18 of Colossians chapter 1. So notice beginning in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So that's our title this morning from the very last part of the passage, He Might Have the Preeminence. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your word would work miracles in our hearts, and I pray that we would all open our hearts to hear from you. I pray that Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be magnified in this time. Lord, that you would guide my words, that they would be consistent with what you want for your people. And Lord, I pray that each of us would leave this message changed and more in love with our Savior. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. So God's desire through this passage is that we would give Jesus Christ the preeminence in all things. You got to understand, he already has the preeminence. He already is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is everything. But God wants him to have preeminence for us. And of course, we're stubborn, we're selfish. He wants us to run our lives, if you will, in a way that shows that Jesus Christ has the preeminence. And so in this passage, it's really into two major sections. A lot of people believe this might have been an early hymn in the early church, that they actually sang this as a way of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But the first section talks about we should give Jesus Christ the preeminence because of all he's done for us. And then the second section is more about who he is and why he's worthy of all preeminence. And so we'll focus first of all on the first section. We'll make it personal. Jesus Christ deserves a preeminence in our lives because of all he's done for us. And we are only going to get a sampling this morning, but Jesus Christ has done so much for us through what he did on Calvary and what he does every day as he takes care of us and watches over us. As he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So let's walk through this together and see. So verse 12, we're told to be giving thanks. Of course, we're told in the scriptures, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. And we are to always be thankful, but we're especially to be thankful for Jesus and who he is and what he's done. And specifically in this passage, what he's done for us. And let's just look at some of the things. So first he says in verse 12, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So he's made us meet, or he's made us worthy or acceptable. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, now this is something that we're talking about in our Sunday school series on the doctrines of salvation, is all that Jesus has done for us and through our salvation. But one of the things he's done is he's made us acceptable through his sacrifice, because his righteousness is imputed to us. Notice Ephesians 1, 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. My friend, you are accepted by God now. You are acceptable to him to enter heaven one day, not because of who you are or what you've done, but because you are now in the Beloved. If you're born again, you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you have what Christ has. You have his righteousness. And that makes you meet or acceptable to be a partaker. And so the first thing that God's done for us is he's made us acceptable or meet. He's worked this miracle through Jesus Christ to make us acceptable to God. And we just talked about this morning about how God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So the first thing we see that Jesus has done for us, which is one of the reasons why we should give him the preeminence, is he's made us meet or acceptable. But he's also, notice it says there in verse 12, to be partakers of the inheritance. So secondly, we see that Jesus has prepared for us and made us acceptable so that we one day can partake of an inheritance. And this inheritance, of course, is, the Bible says, all the greater than we could ask or think. We can't even imagine. You know, I have not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. We can't even imagine how wonderful our inheritance will be. But God does describe the inheritance over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, if you want to turn there. He doesn't tell us what it is, but he tells us some things about it. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. So we know that it's incorruptible, that it's undefiled, and it can't fade. In other words, it lasts forever. Praise God. And it says, reserved in heaven for you. So if you're born again this morning, another thing that Jesus has done for us, he's not only made us acceptable in him to God, but he's also given us access to an inheritance. And Jesus told us in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. So we have an inheritance awaiting us if we're born again. And that's something else that our wonderful Savior has done and is doing for us, is preparing a place for us. And he deserves the preeminence for this. So he's made us meet or acceptable. He's made us he's making us an inheritance, and we're allowed to enjoy that one day for eternity. Now go to verse 13 of our passage, the third thing we see that Jesus has done for us, and another reason why he deserves our preeminence, is that it says here in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Jesus Christ has delivered us. If you're born again this morning, you've been delivered from the power of the devil and from the power of sin. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has delivered us from this power of the darkness. If you want to go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, God summarizes this for us. But before you were saved, you were under the power of the devil. The Bible says we were of our father, the devil, and he pretty much ran our lives. He's the god of this world. Our minds were blinded by the devil. And we've been delivered from all of that. And of course, we were ultimately bound for the devil's hell. We've been delivered from that as well. We've been delivered through Jesus Christ. Notice Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's talking about us. It says he delivered us who had a fear of death. That's something that's built into every one of us, this fear of death. It says he's delivered us, and he's destroyed the devil and destroyed the devil's power. The devil lost on the day of Calvary. And for that reason, we've been delivered. Hallelujah. So we've been made meet. We have an inheritance. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Verse 13 of Colossians 1, he goes on to say, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You've been translated into Jesus Christ's kingdom. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. So we saw in Ephesians 1 that we've been made acceptable in the Beloved. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, what we find is that we've already, in God's mind's eye, made it to heaven. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, well, I'm not in heaven, I'm on earth fighting sin. Yes, but time means nothing to God, and you're in Christ. Christ is in heaven. One day you'll be there too, but in Christ you're already there. It's already a done deal. Isn't that wonderful? So we've not only been made meet or acceptable to God, we've not only been given an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, we've not only been delivered from the power of darkness, but the Bible says we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, the day that you were born again, you became part of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The day we were born again, we became part of that spiritual kingdom that's made up of all saved people. And one day we'll also be part of the millennial kingdom here on earth, the kingdom of heaven. And we'll be able to enjoy that kingdom, which is prophesied of all throughout the Old Testament. But we've been translated. Now we'll have a translation as well when the trumpet blows and the rapture comes. But we have been translated into Jesus Christ's amazing kingdom. So back to our passage, Colossians chapter 1. So we've been made meat. We've been given an inheritance. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Colossians 1:14, He goes on to say here, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Again, we've talked about this in our Sunday school series, but we've been redeemed, or we've been bought back from sin and the devil through the most precious payment ever made, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. We've been redeemed through His blood and been forgiven of our sins. Jesus Christ did all of this for you and for me. That alone should make Him worthy of the preeminence in our lives. But like I said, this first section emphasizes what Jesus has done for us personally through Calvary. And praise God, He's made us acceptable. He's made us an inheritance. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into His wonderful kingdom. And we have redemption and forgiveness through His blood. But now this next section, beginning in verse 15, talks about Jesus Himself and why He is worthy of the preeminence. And so let's look at this passage together now, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. That's Jesus. Jesus was the earthly image of a spiritual God in heaven. He is the image of the invisible God. He is God. He is Jehovah. And that alone makes Him worthy of all the preeminence of the universe. The fact that He is God. He is the image, as it says there, of the invisible God. He was the visible manifestation of the invisible God. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God chose to become a man that He might die for us. But He is the image of the invisible God. He is the earthly manifestation of the invisible God. That's Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He said to Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" In John 14:9, He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." So Jesus Christ is God. But then it goes on to say in verse 16 of our passage, Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is not only worthy of the preeminence because of His deity, but it says in verse 16, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Jesus Christ is our Creator. He is God. He's our Jehovah, but He's also our Creator. Surely He's worthy of the preeminence if He's the one who made the world and made the universe and made us. He is the one who created all things, as it says here in this passage. This is talking about Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That's talking about Jesus, because it's talking about the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ is the Creator. He is therefore sovereign over all of His creation. So He is the image of the invisible God, and He is the one who made all things. And did you notice it says, "by Him and for Him"? God made everything for His own pleasure. And He made it the way He did for His own pleasure. Because He's God and He can do that. He's the Creator. So Jesus Christ is worthy of our preeminence because He is the image of the invisible God. He is the Creator. But notice it tells us in verse 17, He is before all things. So as Jehovah, He's always been. He's always been eternal. And it says, "by Him all things consist." Now this is something we won't understand until we get to heaven. But God is the power that holds everything together. You know, scientists often wonder why atoms don't fly apart when they look at the power inside it. Because God is the one that makes all things consist. So he not only created the universe, but he's the one that holds it together and keeps it functioning and running the way he wants it to. And that is talking about Jesus. By him, all things consist. If you go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we'll see this again. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, talking about Jesus, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. This is the same word that the Bible says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword in Revelation 2:19, and that by he should judge the nations when he returns. This is Jesus, who's worthy of all the preeminence. Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Jesus, the Creator. Jesus, by whom all things consist and who made all things. Now he brings it more home for us here in this age, Colossians chapter 1. So not only is he the image of God and the Creator, but now he brings it down home to us here in the church age and says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Praise God. So Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The pastor's not the head of the church, by the way, that Jesus is. It's his church. And he is that head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ, remember when we're born again, the Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The day we were born again, we were baptized into the body. That body is also referred to as the church. And it only has one head, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church. And it says in verse 18 that he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Referring back to Calvary. So it's gone first full circle. Jesus is worthy of our preeminence because of what he did on Calvary for us. And God talks about personally how that has changed us. It's made us acceptable. It's given us an inheritance. It's delivered us and translated us and forgiven us and redeemed us. But now in talking about Jesus Christ, it starts out here and says that he is Jehovah. He's the Creator. But then it goes on to say that as the Creator, all things he holds together. But then he's the head of the body of the church, and he's the firstborn from the dead. In other words, Jesus Christ is the first one to bring himself back from the dead, because he had the power over death. Only he had the power over death. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And if you want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, well, you don't need to turn there, but you know the passage, verse 3, it says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and we're told that he is the one that has the power over death. So Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead, praise God. He came back from the dead to tell the world that death had been conquered, and that now he could offer us eternal, everlasting life. And so Jesus Christ has done these amazing things for you and for me. He has made us acceptable. He's given us an inheritance. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into his spiritual kingdom. He's forgiven and redeemed us by his blood. So that's what he's done for us. Then we read that he's Jehovah. He's the Creator, praise God. He's the head of the body of the church, and he is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to bring himself back from the dead. Verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. As we reflect on what he's done for us at Calvary, and as we reflect on who he is, on his person, as Jehovah, as the Creator, as the head of the church, as the first one to conquer death, As the God-man, he is the one who should have all preeminence. That word means to have first place, to have supremacy. He is the one that should have all preeminence. If you go to Revelation chapter 5, we will be singing this in heaven. So we should be singing it down here. Amen? That Jesus Christ is worthy. Notice Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a lot. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That'll be us singing in heaven about the Lamb and His worthiness because of who He is and what He's done. We should be singing that now. He should have the preeminence in our life now. The Bible says every knee shall bow to Him. Every tongue shall confess to God. In Philippians 2:10, Romans 14:11, we are to be giving Jesus Christ the preeminence in everything. Go to Psalm 34, verse 3, if you would. But He is to be number one. He should have the preeminence in our lives, in our motives, in our goals, in our hearts, in our minds, in our desires, in our praises. He should have preeminence with our time, even in what we pray for, our service. Jesus Christ is worthy of the preeminence. Go to Psalm 34, verse 3, talking about praising the Lord. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His holy name together." We're here to bring Him glory. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." We are here to give Jesus Christ the preeminence. Because when you look at all the other religions of the world, they're all about a creed or some person, a list of rules. You know, Christianity isn't a religion. Christianity is a person. Christianity, Christ, it's Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. Look in your hymn book sometime and try to find how many hymns don't talk about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Does He have the preeminence in your heart and in your life? As a child of God, you should be able to say, "Yes, to the best of my ability, I try to give Jesus first place in everything. In my decisions, my plans, my thoughts, my time. I struggle because of sin, but I do my best to give them the preeminence." If you're not born again, you can't. And you need to be born again. But if you are born again, the Bible says Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence, the supremacy, the first place in every aspect of your Christian life. And as we've seen in this passage, He's definitely worthy of it for what He's done for us through Calvary and salvation, but also for who He is, His person. And as we think about all those things, it should make us worship and love and praise Him even more and adore Him such that we want to give Him the preeminence. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," as the Bible says. So let's strive to give Jesus Christ the preeminence in all things in our lives. And it is a battle until He comes to take us. But until then, we're here to give Him the preeminence. Think about that. If God were to come down now and to give a reckoning, which there will be one, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but if He were to come now and give a reckoning and say, "All right, I want to talk about how much of your time Jesus is first. I want to talk about how much of your service Jesus is first. Your thought life." And of course, God knows all these things. If He were to do that, where would we stand? Would we be ashamed? Or would we hear from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That in all things, the Bible says, He might have the preeminence. Let's make that real in our lives. Let's give Jesus Christ the preeminence in all things. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Jesus and what He's done for us and who He is. And thank You that we can spend our lives praising Him, worshiping Him, serving Him, and putting Him first. Help us to do that every day. Make it real for us, Lord. Anyone listening, not saved, may they realize they must be born again. And may in all things Jesus Christ receive the preeminence. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.